Verse number one, Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys. Thank you for what we've talked about so far. I pray that it would be impactful and helpful to these young men, and not only in their own lives, but to be able to reach out and help other people that are struggling with this issue, Lord. God, please bless our time now. God, I know it's short, but please, God, I pray you would take control, take over. Please, God, do what none of us can do and what is way beyond us, Lord, but it's not beyond you. I pray you would please work in these guys' lives. I don't know the needs of each person, but God, you do, and you can help with each of those things. Maybe someone's not saved. I pray that today would be their day of salvation. And God, maybe someone needs encouragement, rebuke, whatever it may be. God, you can fill those needs, and I pray that you would. Please, God, we beg you. We need you. Please give me the right words and thoughts and spirit. I pray that they would hear your voice through the preaching. And God, that you would be lifted up and pleased with what happens here today. And make us more like you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you, guys, for standing. I appreciate that very much. Guys, in Psalm 63 here, the setting of it, the background of it is this. David is running for his life. Whoa. David's running for his life. People are chasing him down, trying to kill him. But notice what he's saying in verse number one. Ethan, if somebody's chasing after me, trying to kill me, I don't know if verse number one would be on the tip of my tongue. He said, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Guys, that's what his mind is centered on. That's what his heart is driving towards. That's what he's craving in his life. Instead of his mind scrambling for safety. I mean, that's what I'd be screaming out for, Aiden. I'd be like, hey, somebody give me some protection here. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's not scrambling for safety, security. He's not going after something that's selfish, George. He's not saying, hey, this is not right. I don't deserve this. Nothing of the kind. Guys, he is desperate to be in the presence of the one who is in control of all things and who calls the shots of life. You know who that is? That's God. He's saying, God, I've got to be in your presence. God, I've got to be close to you. And guys, this intimate passage, it reveals so much about having a personal walk with God, about having a personal relationship with God. Guys, and some of you in school, I mentioned this a couple days ago, but all the time we say this statement, but I hope you understand, the Christian life is about a relationship. It's not just rules that we keep. It's not just rituals we go through. It's not just some routine that we do. Right. We say that comment that I just made, we say that a lot. But guys, have that sink in. What that's saying is we need a close walk with God every day. What is that talking about? That's talking about Monday. I'm talking to the Lord. He's talking to me. He's directing and guiding my life. It should affect, Selvin, what I say, what I think about, right, what I look at, what I don't look at, what I listen to, what I watch. The kind of friends that I hang out with, the kind of friends that I stay away from, it should affect. But guys, if Christianity for you is just church on Sunday, you don't have it, man. You don't have it. It's a relationship. See, God goes with me all the time. Now, I should come to church, but Dylan, when I go home today, God's just as much with me there. He is. Bible says he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He's with me. So it should affect me all the time. This passage, I believe, is key, because we say, hey, have a close walk with God, have a relationship with God, be tight with him. But sometimes it's like, so how do I do that? You know, that kind of sounds mysterious. That kind of sounds spooky. That kind of sounds like I need to go in my room, turn the lights off and no, has nothing to do with that. But how do we have a close walk with God? David's heart is just breaking because he wants to have a close walk with God. Do you have that desire, young men? Do you have that drive about you? Do you have that passion? I hope so. I hope so. And I hope today we can kindle that fire and get it burning hotter and hotter and hotter. Guys, to really get down to it, this cannot be your parents' relationship with God or your preachers or your teachers or your friends. You got to grab a hold of this yourself. Listen, guys. Many of you, your parents come and they've brought you here, and that's where you've started out this journey, but it has to become yours.
Yeah. Yes.
You have to own it.
Right.
You have to grab a hold of it for yourself, and it has to be yours. Hey guys, you will not stay faithful to God if it's because you come here because of your friends, or you come here because of your parents. At some point in your life, that will stop. That influence will not be the same anymore. That dynamic will change. And guys, what is it going to be at that point? You know, for a lot of people, they're out the door. Man, I used to come because of my friend, blah, blah, blah. They moved, blah, blah, blah. I used to come because of my parents. They passed away, or they moved, or this or that, or they got mad and they left. And they have no personal walk with God themselves. Hey, guys, I wonder what your statements are like. Is it your parents' church, your parents' walk with God, your parents', what's really important to them, or is it your walk with God? Right. Is it your church? Hey, Woodlawn should be your church. It should be, hey, this is my church. Like Brian, this is my church, right? That's the way it should be. It should be your Bible. Not one that they bought you that you lose all the time. I'm talking about it's yours. I'm talking about you've spent time in that thing. You've made notes in that thing. You've walked with God in that thing. That's the way it should be. It should be yours. You should make it yours. It should be your church, your Bible, your stand for God, your convictions, what God has laid on your heart. By the way, recently I've been encountering the topic of convictions a lot in my preaching. But you know what, guys? Convictions don't come from pastor. Convictions don't come from the group of people I hang around. You know where convictions come from, as kind of what we were dealing with earlier? When you walk closely with God, God presses things on your heart and you see that it's true. Yeah, yeah. And then it impacts your life and you say, you know what? God has showed me that in my walk with him, Dylan. And because of that, it's going to affect my life. Yeah. And you do that on purpose. Hey, guys, do you have convictions about music? Do you have convictions about the kind of words that come out of your mouth? Come on. Do you have convictions about these things? Convictions are strong beliefs that you will not budge on. It's something that's been set in concrete in your heart. And you say, I will not budge on it. Listen, guys, if you're around a different group of friends, is it okay to cuss now? Yeah. If you're around a different group of people, is it okay to blast some garbage music at you? Is that okay then? Is it all based on the group of people that's surrounding me? Because if it is, you don't have convictions between you and God.
Right.
Listen, when I hang out, hey guys, I was just thinking about this. Say with my wife, we've been married several years now. Brother Tut, I've gotten to know her more and more and more and more. I understand certain things she likes, certain things she doesn't like. I know it's not a perfect comparison, guys, but those are kind of, you could say, kind of like convictions. Mm-hmm. The things she doesn't like, do I bring those up all the time? Do I stick those in her face? No. I want to love my wife, treat her well, and I want to have a good relationship with her. Mm-hmm. So I avoid those certain things. I don't want to hurt her, right? And then other things I know she likes. So I'm going to go after that. I'm going to steer things toward that. Hey, guys, in your relationship with God, do you know the things that he doesn't like? And do you stay away from those? And do you know the things that he likes? And do you go towards those? I think, again, it's not a perfect example. But guys, I think there's some truth that we can grab there. Do you have convictions for yourself? Hey, guys, before I move on, because I can preach for the rest of my life and wear my lungs out and one day fall on the floor and say, I can't do this anymore. But you know what will do you more good than all of that? You grabbing some truth for yourself and sticking it down in your heart and saying, I'm not going to move off of that. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Like you take a pole and you jam it deeply down into the ground as far as it'll go. And it will not move. That's what a conviction is. Do you have them? Do you have them? Because Brother Tut, that would get us a lot farther than... Listen, I love preaching. We all enjoy that. I enjoy it. But you know what, guys? You taking these things personally and jamming them down in your own personal life, that'll get us a lot farther than all the preaching in the world or all the conferences in the world or all the promotions. I'm for all those things. But what are you taking and saying? You know what? That is true, and that I'm going to plant down in my life. That'll make all the difference in the world. It should be your church, your Bible, your stand, your convictions, your walk with God. Hey, guys, I will move on. Probably won't finish this message today. Your walk with God. How much time did you invest in your walk with God this week?
It's good.
I'm not against TV. I'm not against video games. I'm not against some of the social media stuff. I'm not against some of the things on the internet. Some of those things are fine. But guys, if we don't watch it, you can spend so much time, a massive time on that stuff and spend no time in your personal walk with God. And then we wonder, Brother Tuck, why we can't seem to live for God.
Yeah.
And then we come to church and they preach at us and scream at us. We think, man, I just can't do this. No, you haven't put in any effort.
Right.
Haven't put in any effort. And guys, we don't want you to be a failure in the Christian life. We want you to be a success, but we're trying to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. All right? Put some time into it. Hey, what request have you given to God this week? Bible talks about David says, I poured out my heart before you. You know what that means? I'm real. I've put it all out there. Do you tell God the closest, most intimate things in your life and say, God, I need help with this? You know you can tell God about stuff that you can't tell anybody else about?
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
And guys, you can let his word, you say, this is, you know, maybe for new guys that don't understand. You say, man, this is just a book and it's just words on a page. No, no, no. Guys, it goes much deeper than that because God can mold your life according to this book.
Yeah,
he is.
It's good.
He can do that and he does it. And he will do it for you if you'll give him the chance. So guys, how can we have that personal walk with God? How can we have a close relationship with God? If you're saved, you have a relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And you always will. God doesn't revoke that and take that back. Mm-hmm. If you had a bad day, God's not like, phew. Oh, gotta take that back, buddy. Sorry. No. Once you have a relationship with him, when you met him as salvation, you'll have that forever, for eternity. Yeah. But what kind of relationship do you have with him? Is it one of them relationships you haven't talked to him in months? Here's the message today. Make it yours. Make it yours. Guys, how do you make something yours? How do you make something yours? I was talking to Brother Todd about it yesterday. I saw some of them passes floating up in the air. And when it came from the other team, I'm like, oh, yeah. And when it comes from our team, I'm like, oh, no. Lord, please, you know, have an angel swat that thing down or something. But, guys, I saw this guy make it his at the end of the game, yeah. Right? How do you make it yours? You go up and you grab that thing.
Yes.
George, I wasn't in your mind yesterday. You're like, thank God for that, all right? But I'll tell you one thing. When this dude came around and turned his head around, he saw that beautiful little football floating up in the sky, like a little balloon out there. It seemed like it was up there about 30 minutes. Well, like, when is that thing coming down, bro? Come on, man. I got to go home. I'm hungry. All right. Listen, when that thing was floating up there, I can tell you what was going on in this guy's mind. I'm going to get that. That's mine.
Yes.
You know what? And he got aggressive and he jumped up and he grabbed that ball and he didn't let anybody take it from him. Mm-hmm. Guys, he went up and he took it into his life.
It's good.
And he treasured it. Hey, guys. In your Christian life, have you made it yours?
It's good.
Is it your parents' Christianity or yours? Good. Is it their walk with God or yours?
No.
Guys, I'll be honest. Growing up in the church, I think I kind of leaned on my dad's walk with God for a long time. Maybe probably a little longer than I should have in some areas. But then he died. Very suddenly, very quickly, no warning. And I was already trying to live for the Lord, but it had to go to a different level.
Yeah.
I said, man, I've got to have you direct my life. It's got to be mine.
Yeah. Yes.
Make it yours, guys. Make it yours. Make it yours. All right. You say, okay, Brother Tom, aren't you going to tell us how? Yeah, I'm trying to get there. Y'all just keep stirring me up. It's your problem, all right? It's your fault. Make it yours. Take it in and treasure it. How do you make it yours? First of all, I love this verse, guys. This verse is one verse, but there's like 18 things jammed up in there. It's great stuff. First of all, I want to point out to you, there's a personal exclamation. The first phrase of the verse, he says, "O God, thou art my God."
Yeah.
Hey. Personal exclamation. He's saying, God, you are my God.
Hey.
I love that. I love that. And guys, I'll say this again in a moment. But George, he's not saying this to the crowd. Oh, by the way, and I'm not against that. Oh, by the way, guys, God's my God. You know who he's saying it to? God directly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you said that to God?
Yes.
Listen, I'm not against giving testimonies, and I'm not against when we preach to say that, and I'm not against those kind of things and identifying with the Lord. I'm not against that. But have you said it to God personally, directly? Have you prayed, bowed your head and said, God, I'm not perfect. I mess up all the time, but God, you are my God.
Amen.
You are my God. Man, guys, I hope we have that personal exclamation. He said, oh, God, thou art my God. Hey, guys, let me break this a couple things down here for you. He says, oh, God, thou art my God. I like how he states that. He starts out by saying, oh, God. Hey, guys, get this. There's a supreme permanence. Let me teach you something. He's saying, you are God. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, you're my God.
Yes.
But can I tell you, whether he's your God or not, he's still God.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's God. God is God with or without you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he's your God, you get a benefit of that.
Right.
You get to get in on the blessings of a walk with him and a relationship with him. But God's God with or without you. Guys, God is not kicked off his throne because we make bad decisions. Yes. He's still God and he always will be. That's unchangeable. I'm glad for that. Brother Todd, I'm glad that we don't look at how bad the world is and say, oh, God must not be in control anymore.
Right.
Oh, the wicked politicians. God must not be in control anymore. Man, are more young people going down the wrong path and listening to wicked music. Oh, goodness, God must not be in control. God is still in control. Amen. God is God with or without us. That doesn't change and that doesn't affect him. Psalm 90, verse 2, it says, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God.
Amen.
And that doesn't change.
Yes.
I'm glad for that. Guys, again, he sits on top with or without us. He's going to be victorious with or without us. He's always going to rule and reign with or without us. But I want to get in on that if I can. So there's a supreme permanence. Number two, there's a sincerity of the person. He says, oh God. Why does he start off with that? Does he not know what to say? You know, you ask a question sometimes, people are like, oh, is that what he's saying? Oh, God. Oh, man. I didn't realize I needed to say something to you, Lord. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah.
No, this word, oh, is an exclamation. It means it expresses desire and passion and emotion. You know why I think he's saying this? He's saying, God, I'm not just saying this to say it. I mean this, God.
Right.
He's sincere about it. He's genuine. He's saying, I'm not faking. I'm not playing. I'm not putting on. You know my heart. And guys, when you talk to God, God knows your heart.
Yes.
God knows what's going on in your mind. God's not faked out. God's not juked out. He says, God, you know my heart. And I want to mean this, God. I mess up. I make mistakes. But God, I want to mean this. I want to be sincere about this. God, you are God with or without me. But God, I really want to mean this. And I want you to be my God. So the supreme permanence, the sincerity of this person, and as I have already said, the speaking is pointing. He's talking to God directly. Have you told God that for yourself? Hey, guys, he's not just your God because he's always been your family's God. He's not just your God because, I mean, everybody knows at Woodlawn, if you come to Woodlawn, Jesus Christ is your God. Can I tell you, you can come to Woodlawn and him not be God in your life.
Yeah, right.
He cannot be the most important thing in your life, but you can come to a place where people all around you have him as number one in your life.
Mm-hmm.
The speaking is pointing. He's saying, God, I'm talking to you directly. And again, if you say that to your friends, great. If you say that to the congregation, great. If you say that in this class when you preach or you testify, great. That's all good. I'm not against that. But have you told God personally yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe you told God that years ago. Do you need to reaffirm that in your life and say, God, you were so important to me back in this time of my life, but God, I just want to let you know, today, right now, you're still God in my life. You're my God. Hey, guys, do you have that? Do you have that? Hey, by the way, I think he's already proven himself, Brother Tut, that he should be our God. He should be precious.
Yeah.
He should be valuable. He should be everything to us. What more does he have to do? What more does he have to do? You say, like, what, Brother Tom? Okay, how about, let me throw this in the ingredients of your mind real quick. How about what he took for you? How about what he took for you in the passion that he had on his cross? Guys, when he hung there, he didn't do that for no reason. He did that for you.
Yeah.
For you, for your sins. You should have been burning in hell, but Jesus took the punishment in your place. That's what he did for you personally. I think that should mean something. I think that should be enough for us to say, God, you're my God. Hey, guys, has the world done that for you? Has wicked music done that for you? Has cheap girls done that for you? No, but Jesus did that for you. Is he your God? What more does he have to do? He's already taken the punishment for you. And guys, what about what he's taught you?
Yeah.
What about what he's taught you? I think we mentioned it, I believe, in the car a couple nights ago. Guys, we wouldn't know this stuff if God didn't reveal it to us.
Right.
But we take this thing almost like we know it like the back of our hand, but we wouldn't know it unless God told us.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know what most guys out in the world think? That drinking is where what life's all about.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us that drinking is an abomination that you should stay away from.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I'm glad that God has told us that. Brother Todd, I may not have known that just in my human thinking. Probably I wouldn't have. But God has shown us that. Hey, guys, most worldly guys, what do they think? Dude, get with every girl you can and do whatever you can with her.
Yes.
What does God say? Flee fornication.
Yeah, right.
What does God say? Flee youthful lust. What does God say? Don't even look at a woman to lust after your in your heart.
Yeah.
George, I wouldn't have known that without God.
Yeah.
I would have. Guys, let's be real about it. We all would have ruined our lives about 55 times by now if not for God showing us these things. And by the way, if you come to a church like this and we do open the Bible and we do show you what God says and you know it, you consciously are aware of it and you turn from it, bro, I would not want to be in your shoes.
Yeah.
I don't understand that. I don't understand that. That takes a lot of boldness and a lot of guts and probably a lot of stupidity. And I don't want to be in those shoes.
Yeah.
I'm not better than anybody, but how dare we think that?
Yeah.
God, you showed me this, but I know better.
Yeah.
That's not very smart. Guys, what more does he have to do? He took your punishment. He's taught you these precious truths of the Bible. He's transformed you. He's changed you. Guys, you ever have a time in your life where you're going down the wrong path? You've been having an attitude recently. You've been struggling. You've been off the rails recently. You've been doing crazy stuff in your mind. And then God gets a hold of your life and gets you back on track. Hey, guys, that's his mercy. That's his grace. Who else has done that for you? Has the TV done that for you? Has some movie done that for you and changed your life? Has some secular book done that for you? No, only God can do that. What more does he have to do? Have you told him, God, you're my God? Wes, I think he's done enough to prove it. I think he's done enough to prove his love once and for all. It's time we get on his side and say, God, I'm not playing around anymore. You don't have to do anything more for me to prove yourself. You've already done it.
Right.
You've already done it. It's like, Brother Tuck, we're still weighing the evidence. I'm not sure. I mean, God keeps me alive every single day, gives me breath to breathe, and provides me with all these blessings, giving me a godly family, godly church, and a perfect Bible, and I can talk to him any time of the day, but I'm still weighing it out. God or the world, the wickedness or living for God, what do I want to do? Are we serious with that?
Right.
How much more does he have to do? You know what the answer is? None. He doesn't have to do anything else.
Yeah, right.
If God, and I need his blessings, but if God didn't do one more blessing, one more blessing in your life, he's given you far more than you deserve, and me too.
Right.
He's already proven himself. The speaking is pointed. And guys, you know what David's saying? I'm stating my pick. You know what he's saying? I'm swearing my allegiance to you, Lord. I'm not playing this game. As I said, he's not weighing it out anymore. He's not deciding. He's not thinking about it. He's not pondering it, Ethan. He's not thinking, well, that was a good conference we went to, but yeah, I'm still not sure if I'm going to go all in for God. He's saying, forget all that. I am all in, and I've been all in for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm not playing this game. I'm all in. You're my God. You're my God. Hey, guys, Moses, back in the book of Exodus, points to a group of people, and he calls them out. He says, who is on the Lord's side? Exodus 32:26. He's saying, who's on the Lord's side? Are you going to keep playing this game? Are you going to keep weighing it out? Are you going to keep on Sunday, Jesus first, and then the rest of the week, the wicked music, the cheap girls, the friends that could care less about God. Maybe I'll cuss during the week, but at church, I'll never do that. God sees it all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm not beating you down. I'm just saying, are you still weighing it out? Are you saying, you know what, God, you're my God. I've already decided. Who's on the Lord's side in here today? And then I like Joshua in his book. He's saying, my choice is outspoken. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yeah.
He's saying, enough putting it off, enough weighing it out, enough pondering it. Hey, guys, some of you have been pondering and considering living for God for the last 10 years. I'm saying you need to decide. Make that decision. Stop putting it off. Stop procrastinating. Brother Tell, one of these days, bro, one of these days I'll get serious about soul winning. One of these days I'll cut that wicked music off. One of these. Come on, make up your mind.
Right.
Some of you are going to be 30 years old and still making up your mind. 45 years old, still making up your mind. Good. Haven't you seen guys just like me grow up in this church and now they're in their 30s and 40s and they're still. Come on, man. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but make up your mind. Go all in. Give it your all. Make a commitment. Do something with it. State your pick. He called them out saying, who's on the Lord's side? He's saying, my choice is outspoken. Choose you this day. But he says, listen, I don't care what your choice is. As for me and my house, we're serving God. Hey, guys, don't tally the votes, George, of all your friends and say, okay, Ethan's living for God. I'm not sure about this guy. This guy's living for God. I'm not sure about this guy. Anthony's doing right. Jaden's doing right, but I'm not sure. Should I go with this group or this group? Forget all them.
Right.
Listen, and I hope all you guys do live for God. But George, if none of them do, you do for yourself.
Yes.
You do it for yourself. Don't count up the votes and tally the votes of all your friends and all your peer group. Who cares? If they all go the wrong direction, you say, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord.
Indeed.
That's the way it needs to be. Help us, God, to do that. He says, I'm stating my pick. You're my God. You're my God. And guys, I'll finish with these things. He's saying, you're my God. You know what he's saying? God, you have all my allegiance. You have all my loyalty. You have all my love. You have all my passion. Hey, guys, does he have that? Does he have that? You know why some people, guys, I'm winding down. I know it's warm in here. Listen, you know why some people, they walk out the house and they have a certain emblem from a certain team on their clothes or on the hat that they wear? You know why? Because they're representing that team.
Yeah.
They're saying, that's the team that I root for. That's the team I'm loyal to. Man, I live and die whether they win or lose, you know? My mood is affected according to whether they win or lose, you know? Man, what's wrong with you, Brother Tom? You know, I'm not even going to get into stories because I could. Man, Dallas losing in the playoff, these guys celebrating. I'm ticked off. Ticked off. Ticked off. Some of you have seen it, you know? The guys want to show me the score. I'm like, I'm about to show you a score across your face. Good grief. Oh, you're talking about the Mavs. Okay. I was like, what are we talking about? I'm talking football. Okay, okay. It's all good. It's all good. He's still thinking about the interception. He's like, that's mine. That's mine. All right. You see that balloon up there? That's mine. All right. Listen, guys. But I like that. You know what? I'm not okay with Brother Tutt is guys that switch their teams every 2 weeks. I don't, that just doesn't make sense to me. You know, guys, dude, this is my team. And I'm like, hold on, last year, didn't you have a different team? Dude, that's not a fan. I don't know what that is. That's garbage. Like, what is that? You stick with them, right? You go through the ups and downs with them. My team's been rebuilding for like 18 years, but we're still rebuilding. You know, I don't know where we're building. Probably down. You know, we're not going up. But like, I'm sticking with them. Guys, and that's stupid sports that are meaningless.
Right.
What about God, dude? Does he have your allegiance?
Sir.
Hey, guys, help us. God, help us all with this because it gets hard what I'm about to say. But, again, in this kind of crowd, we're like, yes, Jesus first. How about when the crowd is not so positive toward Jesus? And I'm not saying we stand up on the desk in front of them and start preaching to them. But do you keep standing for God?
Yeah.
Do you keep living right? When the dirty jokes are flying, are you in on it? God, help us not to be. When the cuss words are everywhere, are you right in with them? Guys, does he have your allegiance? He's saying, you're my God. This is personal to me. You have my allegiance, my loyalty, my love, my passion. And then, guys, let me finish with this. He's saying, you're my God. You know what I think he's saying? You're the most important thing in my life. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, who is your God? Duh, Brother Tom, we're in church today. We have our Bibles. Of course Jesus is our God. No. You don't choose it just by that. You know how you choose it? Who is most important in your life all week long?
Yeah,
it's good. Brother Tut, this is going to sound pretty crazy, but little g, God, can be your girlfriend,
yeah,
your music, what you watch, what you listen to, your friends. Are you serious, Brother Tut? I don't worship them. By your actions, some of us do.
Yeah.
Is he your God? Does he call the shots in your life? Does he control? Does he direct? Does he guide? Hey, guys, can you point to anything in your life these past 7 days, and you say, because God is my God, he's the most important thing in my life, Brother Tuck, that's why I did that. That's why I turned away when that girl was walking by, because Jesus is my God.
Right.
That's why when that dude rolled up next to me at the red light and he's pumping nasty music, I put the window up because I don't want to hear that stuff. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm weird? No, because Jesus is my God, and I don't want to listen to something that defiles him.
Right.
Hey, guys, has there been an action that was affected that you gave out of track because Jesus is your God? Does it affect you like that? When everyone else is complaining in the classroom, do you say, no, I'm not going to take part in that? Why? Because Jesus is my God. He's the most important thing in my life. And you know what David's doing here? David had been living for God a while. When we get to Psalm 63, you know what he's saying? It's still present. You know, Brother Tut, I think way back in David's life, he was a teenager. that he's out there taking care of the sheep. I think that's probably the early stages of when he said, you know what, God, you're my God. I think this is years and decades down the road. I'm almost done, guys. But you know what he's saying? God, that hasn't changed. You're still my God. I still love you. You're still the most important thing in my life. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. I still have that passion. Hey, guys, are you going to keep that? Are you going to keep that strong? God, help us. He's saying, this is not my first time. I'm reaffirming my commitment to you. Hey, guys, for some of you, Jesus, you made Jesus your God years back. Maybe you need to reaffirm that, recommit to that, and say, Lord, I don't want my passion to be toward anything else. He said, oh, God, you're God with or without me. But God, I really want to mean this, and I'm speaking to you directly. I'm not seeing who's watching before I say this. I'm not putting it online, Brother Tut, but I never say it to God directly. He's saying, God, you are my God. And God, you are the most important thing in my life. And I said that to you years ago, but God, I want to reaffirm that right now, that you are my God. Hey, guys, do you have that? There's more stuff in the verse we'll get to. We'll get to, guys. But do you make it yours? Is this Christian life yours? Is this walk with God yours? The church, have you made it yours? Have you put investment into it? Hey, guys, I want you to think about this class. Man, this is your class. No, it's not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But listen, I want you to put some investment into it. I want it to be, you have a good time here. You know why? Because we laughed and we joked and we played around and we played some games. And some of you guys always dominate and some of you never win. But whatever, you know, we just try. But you put some effort into it and we have a good time. Listen, but also, man, I learned a lot from the Bible in that. And it's my class. I look forward to going to that. Hey, guys, have you made it yours? Your Christian life, is it yours? Your walk with God, is it yours? David said, listen, I don't do this because of my parents or my influencers or my friends. God, you are my God.
Amen.
And guys, we may not be having a youth conference today. We may not have a big meeting or a big name preacher. But I challenge you to make that commitment if you haven't before. And if you have, reaffirm it today. Say, God, you are my God. And I mess up all the time and I make mistakes and I'm weak and all that. But you know what, Lord? I'm not quitting because you are my God. And your God can help you live for him day in and day out. Guys, may we have that heartbeat that David has in Psalm 63. You know how you do that? Make it yours. Make it yours. Grab a hold of it and treasure it in your life. Let's bow our head and close our eyes.